So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy, there's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Need to drink water.
I need to drink this beer.
That's the intro.
Yeah.
That's the intro. I need to drink this beer.
Shout out to the Snaggletooth Bandana APA. It's it's probably fitting for this podcast.
Probably.
It's like it's a punk brewery. I mean, I don't think there's really anything punk about Schaumburg, Illinois, but
probably not.
Well, that being said, Blink was like a band from like the suburbs, and like this
that's
is a,
true.
They're,
yeah.
they're white kids from the suburbs, and yeah. this beer is clearly made by white kids from the suburbs. Okay, anyway, yeah.
Oh, hey, oh, we're recording.
Yeah.
Hello, you are listening to...
We don't have a name yet.
Yeah, we don't have a name yet. By the time this gets out, we will definitely have a name. All I have in my notes is objective listening.
No, I want to... Do you have any other, like, potential names? Is there just objective listening?
Well, like, with the word, like, critical, maybe, but I don't know about that.
I don't know.
We're not really critical.
We're not... Well... I tried.
Well, we are critical. In a
I tried to be.
I don't know. Do you have any other names lined up?
I was trying to think more pun things, like mashing up. I don't know, like just puns with the two bands. So I was thinking My Chem and Blink. So
well, spoiler alert. We were gonna. Well, this is the first episode. We're still trying.
Okay.
This out,
yeah. So
Just names.
Let's see. So thank you for the Venom. We could do thank you for the M&M's, because that's a song in this album. Okay, actually, no. All jokes aside, we should probably explain what exactly we're doing.
So yeah,
first.
Never mind the title. We'll figure that out when the time comes. What this show is about. Oh, first of all, I'm Eddie Aaron Hurster.
I'm James Green.
And you probably know me from the Music Sucks podcast, but this is a completely different podcast that we are doing. So the premise of the show is... We, James and I, are here to talk about bands that each of us like and dislike.
Yes, that's so we were roommates for a year.
Yes.
We have a lot of, we talked music pretty much like just about every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we always thought like, oh, we should do a podcast together.
Yeah.
But we don't really see eye to eye on everything, particularly when it comes to certain...
That's a key factor, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We do not see eye to eye on... We see eye to eye for some
A lot of things,
stuff.
But you're like, I've usually sort of detested a lot of pop punk.
Yes, and I've detested a lot of the heavier shit. But the band that we're... The bands we're talking about, or at least the band I'm talking about, isn't necessarily heavy in the sense of, like...
No, there's darker stuff there, but, you know, there's more than one way to be heavy, you know? And, okay, basically, Eddie's least favorite band is My Chemical Romance, and My Chemical Romance, to me, was sort of the band that sort of got me into everything. Like, Black Parade was the first CD I ever bought with my own money, so they were a pivotal band for me, and I get shit for it, but they're still important to me to this day, and
for me... Blink-182 is one of my favorite bands, but James hates their guts. But
I fucking hate them.
But for me, Blink-182 was like one of the main bands that I got into after Green Day. I guess you could say Green Day is my favorite band. Blink being a very close second. I got into them around the time they reunited. I didn't even know that they broke up, essentially. But it was definitely after Travis Barker's plane crash. And I remember seeing them on the Grammys saying that they're back, and I'm like, I didn't know they went away. And so I discovered their back catalog. I think Enema of the State was the first one that I discovered.
Okay.
It was definitely the first album I got. So they're important to me in that regard. But he's right. I cannot stand My Chemical Romance, and you can't stand Blink. So the idea of this podcast is...
We're both going to objectively go through their discographies album by album and try to really understand where's the appeal, where does this work, where does it not work, and just see if maybe our own opinions change in going back and listening to them.
And let me tell you, it changed, well, not a lot, but it changed somewhat, and we'll explain as we go on. So, yeah, this is going to be a different... Each episode, we're going to go through one album per band, just because we feel like we could talk about the specifics of the band and that record and the songs on it
you know,
more in detail. So this being the first episode, we're starting from the very top, I listened to I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love by My Chemical Romance, obviously.
And then I listened to Cheshire Cat, Blink-182.
Which is technically their first record.
Yeah, I'll get into that, because I have a bunch of notes about that.
You can start with your notes, because I'm intrigued to see what you have.
Okay, so at this point I just wrote down...
Actually, I just realized something. Yeah. There's a spitball in here. Tell me, when did you discover that you hate Blink-182?
This is good, yeah.
Please tell me that.
Okay, yeah, so... Let's do that. Why don't we say, when did we discover we hated certain band, and then when did we sort of discover... Well, you sort of said your thing about...
We said how we got into them and how we liked them, but let's talk about how we dislike the opposite bands.
Yeah, totally. I guess to me, Blink-182 just sort of seemed like... I mean, even when I was younger, I just seemed like, all right, they're fine, I guess. They were always like in the soundtrack to like... stuff I watched as a kid, like Air Bud or Clock Stuffers. You know, there was just like, there was that weird period of like the early 2000s where like every like raunchy comedy or kids movie had like a Sum 41 song or like a Blink song. And it just, I don't know, there was just too much of it. And I think it was just sort of, I don't know if it was overexposure of that genre, but, or that sound, but it was, it's sort of like, it just sounded like pop music to me, and it was just something which I liked to an extent, because that was right when Green Day got big, and I liked Green Day when I was younger, but
I actually didn't know that about you, believe it
no,
or not.
When I was, my sister, like the first CD she ever bought was American Idiot.
Nice.
And then she bought a Nickelback CD after that. Now she sings musical theater. I don't know why. I think it, you might have a similar answer in the sense that it sort of comes down to the fans.
Actually, no, because I'm one of those people that like doesn't really, and we've talked about this. We've talked about this with you know, his roommate Mac, my old roommate Mac. I used to live with the three of them. I've never been a person that like hates a band because of their fans. I mean, obviously like bands have really awesome fans and really shitty fans. But for me it's always been about the music, and with My Chem, I just never got into it. Mm-hmm. I've never been, like, a fan of the kind of emo, or screamo, definitely screamo, but the kind of emo that they do. I was, if we're talking, like, emo in the regards that they were big at the time, I was probably more of a Taking Back Sunday person.
Okay.
But even with that, like, I didn't get into Taking Back Sunday until later on in life. But for sure, with the type of emo music that they do, like that goth, Hot Topic, fucking emo bullshit, whatever, the memes, it never appealed to me. I was much more of a pop punk, or even like a, you know, a punk kid.
Right.
And never got into the whole screamo, like, bands like My Chem. So it just never got to me. And,
you know, like, off the air, you know, I could do a whole different podcast talking about what actually is screamo and what got labeled as screamo.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
to me,
absolutely.
Screamo is always going to be bands like Page 99, City of Caterpillar.
And that's why we're doing this podcast.
Ciacia. And, like, if you look at interviews with Gerard Way, he will clearly say, like, we're not emo. We're kids that grew up listening to, like, The Cure, Iron Maiden, and Misfits.
Yeah, so let's get in. So let's get into the bands. Let me talk about My Chem. You talk about Blink's history. So we just do the.
Yeah. Who wants? Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
Because like you were on a roll and I cut you off. So
okay.
You can go first.
Yeah. So I went back and listened to Cheshire Cat, which whenever I said I really didn't like Blink, even to most of my punk friends, they're like, "Oh, not even Cheshire Cat," and I'm like, "I don't think I really even gave that era a listen." And people always told me, he's like, well, James, you love The Descendants. Like, Eddie and I actually, we first met at a Descendants
concert. At a Descendants show, yeah.
And
I was wearing a Minor Threat shirt.
Yeah.
Which you complimented, so I was just like, all right, this guy likes me.
Yeah, he had a Minor, I remember this because he had a Minor Threat shirt and I had a Gigi Allen shirt
That's
on.
That's right, you did. I remember that, yeah.
That probably describes us both perfectly right there. Anywho, so I went back, listened to Cheshire Cat, and I listened to it maybe 3.5 times this week.
Oh, wow, okay.
Just trying to really get the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
And reporting back, it's fine.
Sure.
People told me, oh, you're going to love it if you love this sentence. I'm like, all right, I guess. It's. I mean, there's stuff that, well, granted, it's a first album.
Yeah.
And plus, at this time, they were all kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty much just out of high school. One thing I will give it is their personality definitely does shine through, and this album is sort of oozing with potential. And I don't want to say, like, oh, these kids are going to go somewhere, because, well, I think the fact that we're talking about them today is sort of testament to that.
Yes. Agreed.
So, what year did they form? You could...
So I guess I'll just explain the history. Do you want me to just explain the
history? Yeah, because I was just going to say started... Like, okay,
so we might as well just explain the band's history from the bands that we do like. So Blink formed in 1992, and they were originally called Blink. They...
I have that written down because there was an Irish post-punk band or something called sort of Blink. Like, and then
band.
Yeah, they were like a new wave band, and they were called Blink, and they... We're going to sue them or something.
Yeah, so they were going to like threaten lawsuits against Blink-182.
So where did the 182 come from?
So I think Tom DeLonge, vocalist and guitarist Tom DeLonge, I think it was either him or Mark Hoppus, singer and bassist Mark Hoppus.
Yep.
It was definitely one of them that came up with the name or with the added number. But in hindsight, and I think Mark has revealed this, the number doesn't really have a meaning. They've come up with several meanings, or several, like, reasons why. One reason that sticks out to me is it's, and you're a film major, you can probably correct me on this, that they named the 182 from the number of times the word fuck was said in Scarface.
Okay.
182 pounds was Mark Hoppus' ideal weight. 182 was, like, the naval ship number that his grandpa was on, and it's those like three. Sure.
So it's like the Misfits song "We Are 138."
Yeah,
there like is no meaning to it, and everyone tries to dissect it. And Glenn Danzig goes, "Cause like, no, you're wrong." And all the members of the Misfits, when they're interviewed, like, what does it mean? They like all give different answers.
Yeah,
and it's sort of just like the thing is like it has no meaning.
And they Blink 182 capitalized that like very early on. Like they were just like, Oh, it's this meaning. But I think when they got back together, Mark was just like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So, like, when people told me I'd like it because they say that sounds like the older pop punk you like Descendants, Vandals, Dag Nasty, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think the real attitude I get from that is, one, it's probably its biggest credit is that it's, when I was listening to it, I was like, wow, this sounds like a garage band of just some kids from the suburbs fucking around. And then I realized, oh, wait, that's exactly what this is. And who to funk, that would be the exact audience they'd appeal to early on. Because this is pre-Warped Tour that they started. Because I think the first Warped Tour was 97?
I thought it was either 94 or 95.
Okay, well, but so, okay.
It's mid-90s.
So anyway, so Cheshire Cat was originally a demo called Buddha. And then, because I went and I listened to both.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. This was something we discussed beforehand, because I suggested us starting with Cheshire Cat first, because basically Buddha is like half of Cheshire Cat. And controversial opinion, some versions on Buddha are better than the version on Cheshire Cat, in my humble opinion.
I'd agree. That's the same with like a lot of bands.
Yeah.
But, so I think that was one of its biggest credits, is that it feels genuine. It feels just like some kids fucking around in the garage. And building off on that, it feels like they did whatever they wanted because they didn't think anyone would be listening.
Right.
So, I put down a couple of songs where that's abundantly clear. Touchdown Boy, Benoit Balls, and, I liked it too. It sort of, on one hand, sort of tackles the double standards of men and women, but at the same time, it's sort of making fun of high school football players.
Tackles.
I actually wrote that on my notes.
Sure. I didn't know if you meant to make that pun.
No, that's completely unintentional, but I realized that as soon as I wrote it down, I'm like, damn it. I should have said no pun intended, but I've had a drink before this, so...
it's fine.
Yeah. All right.
It's episode one. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. Like Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
That was an even worse pun. Okay. The one thing I would say is that the main riff to Touchdown Boy, it kind of sounds like the riff that would become Damn It.
Kinda. Now that I think about that, you kind of... Yeah. Little bit.
Yeah. Tackles. You know, this time the pun's not intended. Fuck it. All right, so
yeah, okay.
it covers the double standard of, like, dude that fucks a lot of chicks is sort of a player.
Yes.
And then that chick that sleeps with a lot of guys is a whore.
Mm-hmm.
Or a slut, or whatever, you know.
You get the idea.
You get the idea. So there's that double standard there, but when you realize they're singing about football and stuff, what they're actually singing about is the dude's nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're his balls.
I know. Well, there is the one, if I could interject, there is the one, like, section where they do the banter, where Mark and Tom do the banter, and Tom's like a dog, he's loyal to his bone.
Yeah exactly. Mm. So, there was that. And then there's just the goofy song Benoit Balls about an old man that falls in love with a younger girl and turns out it's his daughter that he's, like, fucking.
It's very Blink-182.
It's very, well, like, yeah, but again, it feels like something I would have written, like, when I was, like, 14 and stuff and just thought it was funny. And that's not a complaint. I'm like, no, all right, yeah that's good, dude. That's good there. And then it's funny with the Benoit, I couldn't listen to that and not think about Chris Benoit.
Who's Chris Benoit?
Oh, you don't know about that?
No, I don't.
The professional wrestler that, like, killed his whole family.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't follow.
There's a podcast I listen to called Cumtown.
Nice.
No, it's name aside, which is a funny name, but it's one of the funniest podcasts I've ever listened to. But they had, like, a whole 40-minute segment where they said they wanted the next American Crime show. Like, you know, because they did the O.J. Simpson, the Giuliani Versace.
Mm.
And did they do the, was it American Crime that did the JonBenet Ramsey?
It might have been.
Okay. But they wanted to do the...
You're the crime show expert,
they,
not me.
They wanted to do the American Crime Chris Benoit story about the dude that killed his whole family and himself using professional wrestling moves.
I shouldn't be laughing.
Don't laugh, dude. That was a serious thing.
I'm not laughing. I'm only laughing because you didn't specify how
Vince McMahon, we're sorry.
You didn't specify how he killed his family, so I'm just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he hung himself on, like, an elliptical and stuff. Yeah, all right.
Let's go back to Blink.
Okay, let's go back to Blink. I liked how the second to last track was called Just About Done.
Yes!
And it's just, like, jungle drums.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just talking about butt sex.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, that's kind of funny. I'm looking at my notes because they're kind of all over the place. One of my notes just says balls and butts.
I mean, that's basically this album.
Yeah, but on the other end, there's songs where I feel like they actually are trying to add emotion and whatnot, like Carousel, Eminem's...
Wasting Time,
definitely. Like, those feel like songs that there are genuine emotions around, and I just felt like with this album, granted it's their first one, they're young kids, it doesn't really feel balanced.
Right.
So, I mean, whenever I talk about a band that's usually, they can go from serious to goofy really fast. I said this in our nu metal episode. It's,
The nu metal episode of Music Sucks, yes.
Yes, yeah. So, the band I always bring it back to is System of a Down.
Right.
Because that's a band that can have a song that's all over the place but still political, like Chop Suey, and then the song right after Chop Suey is Pogo.
Or Bounce.
Yeah. Bounce. Well, yeah. Which is about...
Pogo. Yeah, we get that.
Which is about a pogo stick and butt sex, but...
Essentially.
So I guess that's something they have in common with Cheshire Cat. But, yeah, like, a band like that, they can have songs like Prison Song, which is very political song, next to Deer Dance, which is...
Yeah, that's kinda true.
They go from, like, goofy to serious to goofy, but it all fits together, and here it doesn't really fit together, but, you know, I mean, they're kids. They're just sort of learning how this is going.
Right.
But, yeah, it just feels like, you know, white kids from the suburbs making dumb music for white kids in the suburbs, and it just happened to get a lot bigger. But I think the big thing is, like, it was punk rock that was accessible for people that wouldn't normally get into it.
It's essentially, you know, Green Day, but a few years behind.
Pretty much. I mean, the bands I wrote down, like, 90s '90s punk bands are more accessible. I just wrote down Green Day, The Offspring, who had, like, a way later start.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they kind of looked like dads at that time. Offspring, well,
they were, like... Well, I think Dexter, the singer of The Offspring, had a daughter when the first Offspring record came out, and that came out in, like, 89.
Yeah.
So, that just goes to show you that.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you their age.
They're a bunch of dads. I mean, I love The Offspring, but, like, what was up with that summer tour they just did?
With 311.
With 311 and
well,
Gym
Class. They've toured with 311.
No, I know they have, but yeah. They toured with 311 and Gym Class Heroes in 2018.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm like, that's like the most 2006. tour. Like, I didn't even know. I forgot that band even existed. Gym Class Heroes.
I didn't know they were still together, to be honest. I thought, what's his.
That's probably the same thing. I forgot they existed.
I thought his singer was on a solo trip.
You see, you clearly know more information about Gym Class Heroes than I do.
And, yeah.
As long as we're on the age subject, there is a significant age gap between Mark and, at the time, well, Tom and their original drummer, Scott. So Scott mm-hmm. Rayner is the drummer on Cheshire Cat.
That's what I wrote. I wrote down all the members. Yeah. I was going to say that earlier. But, sure. Because they're mostly known for having Travis Barker.
Yes.
But people forget he didn't come around until Enema of the State. Yeah.
Yep.
So...
But yeah, Mark is like 4 years older than Tom. I think when they started, Tom was still in high school. Mm-hmm. He was just about to finish high school, and Mark was in his early 20s.
Yeah, because that's what I had in my notes when I was looking at like their touring after this happened. Yeah. Like, I guess they were like, they supported 7 Seconds on like a...
Sounds about right.
Yeah, they were supporting 7 Seconds for like that whole summer, and I guess Tom got arrested for underage drinking because of like the age difference with him, because I guess he was the youngest one there at the time.
Well, Scott's technically the youngest out of all of them. He was like 14 or 15 when Blink started.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, Tom was, you know, Tom's, like, 3 years older than Scott.
Sure.
You get the idea.
And I think this is probably, like, a good segue into the My Chem thing. I guess what, again, they're just, like, a bunch of, like, class clowns that started a band. But I think that's really the real dividing point between them and My Chemical Romance. Because they were just goofballs playing music for goofballs. And that was accessible because everyone loves the class clown. Yeah. Even if they're dick, everyone kind of loves them. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I was doing research and stuff, and, like, fuck, Tom DeLonge was the prom king.
That's right, he was.
When he was in high school. So he's, like, you know, he was, like, a popular kid, but he was still making, like, sure, like, music that was through the guise of being, like, alternative and stuff, but to me, they still sort of fit in.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of, it's, yeah, I think that was something that sort of deterred me for a while as I thought that My Chemical Romance, they were really the kids that were sort of like the kids in art class that were on the outside.
So yeah, let's jump. Oh, I'll let you finish your statement.
And to me, their sound, they were playing punk rock and stuff, but they had it this, they were approaching it from another side. Through
a completely different side.
A completely different side, a completely different, I don't want to say upbringing, but I mean, I guess you could. I mean, no, because when I think upbringing, I think that really goes on the parents, but it's really just, like, what they went through in their adolescence that sort of shaped the sound that they did. Mm-hmm. So these dudes were just, like, the goofy class clowns making dick and fart jokes, and
My Chem was, like, the scary goths behind the locker room.
Not even that. When you go into it and you try to do some of your history, I don't know how much history you pulled up, so I can probably correct you.
You can definitely correct me on this. So, shall we?
Yeah, so the verdict on Cheshire Cat is, it's fine. It's an album that has potential, but, you know what? They're already big enough, so they probably don't need my opinion on it. They've probably already made it, you know?
Yeah.
So
you're right. I guess I was gonna say this until the very end, but this is, you know, we're still starting this. Do you have a favorite and least favorite song off this record?
My favorite song was probably, was it Toast and Bananas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Toast and Bananas. Good choice.
I like Toast and Bananas. And least favorite, I don't know, there's just some tracks I thought were forgettable.
Sure.
Because I can't even remember their names right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I liked Toast and Bananas. Carousel was cool. Some of the goofier songs were fun, but it just sort of felt like...
As a Blink fan, that's where the album falls off from here, those last
three
jokes. Yeah,
there's just some forgettable stuff on it. It doesn't leave too much of a lasting impression. Granted, there's plenty of talent behind it, and I think I can start to see where my problem with Blink is going to go from here on out.
Sure. Okay.
Which is, it's Tom DeLonge.
we'll get more, we'll get into it as it goes along. They have a lot of albums with Tom as the vocalist, but we'll get into that as this,
Mark is
as
the better singer.
I agree.
Yeah,
I'm much more of a Mark fan than a Tom fan. I think they're both incredible songwriters, but I'm very much with you.
Man, these guys need to get a new fucking drummer. They better improve.
So I guess we can jump into the My Chem side of things. So the album I listened to was their debut, called I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love. So a little bit of a back history, if I remember right, and you can correct me on this.
Yeah.
So the band formed, like, right after 9/11, essentially.
Yeah, so I can see you got your checklist of stuff. There's like a whole bigger story about the stuff.
Sure.
Well,
the one thing I didn't have it written down here, but I just remembered, Gerard Way, the singer, was a cartoonist.
Yeah, he went to art school, and was going to do, he was wanted to be a cartoonist because he was a comic book kid growing up. Mm-hmm. And, later he'd go on to create Umbrella Academy, which is about to... Isn't the show about to start on Netflix?
I think by the time we record this, it'll already be out. But at the day that we're recording, I think it's dropping this coming week.
Okay.
I think. But yeah.
Because it's Valentine's Day is coming up. And, you know. because that's the emo shit. Because they know emo kids have nothing to do. They have no dates, so they're going to watch Umbrella Academy.
Pretty much.
Myself included.
all right. But yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Gerard Way went to art school. And was actually interning at Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay.
In New York. And on his way to work one day, 9/11 happened.
So is Cartoon Network, like, based in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I think he went... I don't think it was NYU, but he went to art school in New York. But, sure. Like, 9/11... Because they're from New Jersey.
Okay, because that's what I was going to bring up. Like, Blink is on the West Coast.
They're West Coast.
In Cali. And My Chem is, like... East Coast,
yeah.
Jersey.
Yes.
So,
I wonder if that might have something to do with the Misfits influence. In
probably,
sound.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they're just into spooky shit, so.
we'll get into that as the album talk goes on, but yeah.
Yeah, so My Chemical Romance, which originally I had thought that the name My Chemical Romance had come from... all of the smog that was in the air, because there's stories about after 9/11 happened, because of the explosion, all the stuff that was in the building. This is a fact. They tested the air after this.
Mm-hmm.
Every single element on the periodic table was in the smog.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how big a deal this was.
Shit.
But that's actually not where the name came from.
That's actually really... That's a good story, but yeah, it's not where the name came from.
Yes,
I know that.
The name came from a Shel Silverstein poem.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the poem, but yeah, you can keep going.
That's really what I have. I'm just sort of saying, sure. Like, yeah, it formed shortly after 9/11 because Gerard sort of... Because him and Mikey were living together, because Mikey was still in high school. And Gerard was just out of school interning at Cartoon Network. And then he had another band in high school. You'll actually like this because you like comic books too. So Gerard's first band was called Gwen Stacy.
Wow.
Not to be confused with the Christian metalcore band Gwen Stacy. this was years before.
So there's an actual band called Gwen Stacy, like right now or back then?
Like back in like 2009. They're like a shitty Christian metalcore band. But no, Gerard Way's first band was called Gwen Stacy when he was in high school, which he described on a Kevin Smith podcast. It's pretty much the sonic equivalent of The Hobbit.
Jeez.
So the best comparison... When he described that, I immediately just thought of the band that... what's his name? Justin Long's character in F is for Family.
Oh, has, yeah, what's his yeah,
like,
what's
what is
his
it, the, like, the Shire of Frodo or
yeah,
something
that
it's called?
Something stupid. Like,
yeah,
something
yeah.
Very 70s prog thing.
Yeah, so he was in a band called Gwen Stacy, and then after all this stuff happened, he sort of turned to Mikey, who was getting into music, and he's like, fuck it, let's start a band, dude. Life's short.
Yeah.
We just experienced, like, probably the biggest tragedy on American soil in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it, probably my lifetime too.
Yeah. Definitely my lifetime.
Yeah. Here's a message for anyone listening. Don't trust anyone born after 9/11. That's just a good rule of thumb for right now. Call me call me senile and okay, just like so paranoid.
So I shouldn't trust my younger siblings, but okay.
No, don't trust a word they say. They don't know what they're talking about. They haven't been through what we've been through.
I haven't.
Granted, I was five when it happened.
I haven't still. For a while, so yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
I would like to. Yeah. I would like to fact check you on that. So yes. I should. So you said a Shel Silverstein poem. What I found was it was based off of an Irvine Welsh book.
Yeah,
Ecstasy, Three Tales of Chemical Romance. But I mean, I don't know. There could
I've
be
heard a, both though.
There could be a Shel.
But that makes more sense. But I know there is a Shel Silverstein.
We'll look it up after this because I'm actually intrigued by it.
The Irving Welsh thing makes more sense.
Sure.
But I remember hearing somewhere it was a Shel Silverstein.
Okay. That's what I found. I mean,
yeah. Okay. This is
what
yeah.
So yeah, I should. So the core. So what I did in the research. Well, yeah, what all you said was correct, but the core members, and I actually knew this. Before doing this podcast, the core members of the band were Gerard and his brother Mikey Way.
Yep.
I think Mikey was the bassist.
Yeah, he's the bassist.
Okay. And Ray Toro,
mm-hmm.
Ray Afro Toro
yep.
on guitar, and then Frank Iro. Iro?
Yeah, Frankie Iro.
Frank Iro. Frank Gyro.
No, Iro.
Iro?
Is that Iro?
Okay,
yes.
And those two are the guitarists, and they had. They haven't gone through like a lot of drummers, but they went through different drummers in different periods. So the guy that plays on the first record was, I should know this. Hold on. I'm
surprised I don't.
Matt Pellissier. So he plays on.
It sounds like a guy from New Jersey.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, he plays on "I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love," which, mm-hmm. by the way, really long album title. It's fine. I'm cool with long song titles, but I think long album titles are hit or miss. I think this album title is cool. I know we didn't really. I mean, Cheshire Cat's kind of self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Wonderland,
right?
But with this album title, I mean, I'm not basing the album off the title. It's fine. I think it's cool. It sounds like a very emo song or album title from early 2000s.
Kinda. Yeah, you know, I've always been hesitant to even call My Chem emo.
Right.
Mostly, well, because like I mean. Like, to me, emo was never, like, Dashboard Confessional, like, Good Charlotte, that sort of thing.
Right.
It was always more, well, I guess Taking Back Sunday sort of fits it, but, like...
Well, see, this is where we get into the whole thing of, like,
what's emo, and what is pop punk, and what is
screamo, what's post-hardcore, because you could make a case for a couple different bands.
My least favorite thing is just alternative music.
Sure.
I hate that label at all.
It's a very general thing, too.
I mean, because I just graduated film school in, like, an experimental program.
Right.
And people always say, this is experimental film. I'm like, that's just, like, the visual equivalent of saying alternative music. It's just such a vague label. It just means that something like oh, it's not the norm. But then everyone tries to do it, and then it becomes the norm.
Sure.
Which is, I think, sort of where my problems with... Blink came in, but we'll get to that next episode.
We'll get to that next episode.
Anywho.
So, yeah, the album that I listened to was the first one, I Brought You My mm-hmm. Bullets.
Yep.
It was released in 2002.
Yes.
It was actually, like, recorded, like, shortly after the band formed. I think, like, 3 or 4 months after the band, like,
sounds about
formed.
Right, yeah.
It was produced by Jeff Rickley of Thursday, and you can definitely hear the Thursday influence on this record. For sure. Sorta.
Yeah.
Kinda.
My defense of that is that My Chemical Romance and Thursday both came up at the same time and were the two biggest in that scene and played tons of local shows together. It's just I think Thursday got signed earlier.
They did, because Full Collapse, that big record, came out like the year before.
Well, no, because they had the EP that they got kind of big on, because I just noticed from like the Hellfest DVDs and stuff like
sure.
that.
Yeah.
And there's videos from, I think it's like Hellfest, it might have been even like Hellfest 02 that Thursday is playing.
Probably.
And Gerard Way comes on stage and sings, what's the song? I'm forgetting. I'm a huge Thursday
I was gonna
fan
say, you're
too.
You're a big Thursday.
I'm
fan.
A
you're
big
a bigger,
Thursday
you're a bigger
fan.
Thursday fan than me, but I love Thursday. But yeah,
they're like my favorite like American emo band.
Sure.
I think, or at least the bigger ones. Which is funny because I think my favorite emo band is the Japanese band Envy, and Thursday actually did a split with them.
Okay, sure.
So Envy is definitely worth checking out.
So back to the My Chem thing. In my opinion, I think it's dope that like. Jeff from Thursday produced
yeah.
the band. I think that's amazing. And Thursday is from Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that...
Again, they grew up together.
Yeah, again, the camaraderie and whatnot, and I'm sure that they, like, toured together when they got big as well. That's neither here nor there at this point. So, yeah, it was released in 2002, and so this is where I had trouble. I wrote a little sub-note, because MyChem is known for, like, conceptual themes and albums, you know, Black Parade being... you know, a concept record.
That's, but, yeah, I'd say with the concept album stuff, that's really, that's more the last two.
Yes.
I mean, sure, there's concepts, I guess, in the storytelling of the songwriting.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't think, yeah. But, like, when I think concept album, I think, like, an overarching story that's going on through the whole album. I think, like... With concept album, I think, like, a band... the concept emo band, I think, like, Coheed and Cambria.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Which is, like, I mean, that story is so fucking hard to, like, even comprehend.
We won't even get into that.
Yeah, let's not even get into it, because I don't have the time or energy to, as much as I love that band. Yeah. Anywho, I think what it really comes back to is that just the band's love of comic books and, like, pulp movies and... not pulp movies, pulp fiction novels and... cult films and whatnot. I think it really just comes down to that. They wanted to do, let's do the Sonic equivalent of, like, a Batman comic or something like that.
Sure.
And, I mean, there's plenty of, I don't know if inkling's the right word, but,
Like, hints?
There's hints at where they're gonna go with that. I mean, in particular, Vampires Will Never Hurt You.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I guess the theme.
That's just like, it's like a Hammer horror song. It's like a Hammer horror movie done as like a.
Well, vampires song. Consistently get brought up in this album specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I did my research,
maybe it's just because they're dope as fuck.
Well, let me finish my let me finish my fucking sentence, James.
All right.
This will happen a lot. I apologize. Yeah. With my research, there was, like, not... I mean, the band has never confirmed that it's a concept record. They probably won't, and they'll probably... And if they do, they'll be like, no, it's not a concept. I didn't feel like there was a concept. It felt like a bunch of songs about... well, there are themes on a bunch of... I mean, Vampires being one of them, which was the first single. So they had three singles, Vampires Will Never Hurt You, Honey, This Mirror Isn't Big Enough for the Two of Us, and Head First for Halos. Those were, like, the three... and there's like, I have another couple other song facts that I found really interesting. So Skylines and Turnstiles was, I think, the first MyChem song that was ever written, because it's like based on the 9/11 thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And, another thing that I found interesting is that the album cover is called Demolition Lovers, which is the last track on the record.
Okay.
I think.
Actually, because, like, I don't know too much about the album.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I will say the album art looks pretty dope for, you know, a band's first record that came out in 2002. But apparently there includes a text. I couldn't pick it out because I didn't really have the time, but it says, the story of a man, a woman, and the corpses of 1,000 evil men. So maybe that's, like, the concept, but I didn't pick that up from listening to it.
Sure.
So my review of this record is kind of the same as yours. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what a band's first album should be.
Sure.
You know, especially with a band like MyChem, like, you know, don't like the only, you know, the only hints of songs that I'm not forced to listen to, but like have listened to on accident, like were, you know, the song Black Parade or Teenagers, and I'm just like, oh yeah, this, yeah, I recognize it, it's MyChem. With this, I was just like, wow, this is MyChem, like, this is the Black Parade band, like, shit.
Right,
because this sounds like, actually, it's, I don't know if there's much of a Thursday influence as there is, like, you brought up Misfits for sure. And you can correct me on this, and because you're a big fan of this band, I sense a lot of AFI influence, sorta,
maybe. I guess where I'd interject in that, because you mentioned the Thursday influence, it's not just because they grew up in the same scene and whatnot. Like, they were no doubt listening to the same bands that Thursday was listening to.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to come through in your music regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of their biggest influences is Iron Maiden.
Okay. That's kind of shocking. I mean, kind of, but not really. But
you can hear it in the guitars.
Yes. And that's one thing that I actually liked about this record. I was just like, wow, the music is really good. Vampires Will Never Hurt You specifically, because it has like the break, like the ending bit where it's like the din-in-in-in-in-in. And I'm just like, oh shit, like that's actually really cool. Like, part of me wishes I came up with that as a musician, but that's neither here nor there.
So here's because like you picked up on that, here's some other food for thought.
Okay.
How much did this remind you of early Avenged Sevenfold?
Not a lot. Well, now that you bring it up.
Food for thought.
Definitely leaning towards Seventh Trumpet era Sevenfold, yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Right? But you can hear it now.
Because I'm in a huge... Well, because we're both huge Avenged Sevenfold fans, yeah. So it's like, oh yeah.
Well, I'm just a fan of, like, early metalcore in general.
Oh, for sure,
like,
yeah.
That's probably my pop punk. Yeah. Like, because you're real into pop punk.
Right, because I could spitfire, you know, facts about Blink. Like, you can spitfire facts about, you know, metalcore bands.
Like Converge or, like, Dillinger, stuff like that. We're recording this in a room where there is, like, a giant Dillinger flag. Banner on my wall, so... Anything else?
Another fun fact about the record... Gerard recorded vocals while having a dental abscess.
Yes.
Which, for those of you that don't know what that is, it's something with your gums, I think.
Yeah.
And we will leave it at that, because that it's actually really fucking gross. So look that up on your own time, kids. Yeah. But he recorded
a lot of fun.
He recorded vocals while having that, while dealing with that, and he screams a lot on the record. I mean, it's like him and, I don't know who does backup vocals in the band. Does Mikey do backup vocals? Or Frank? Not Ray. Or no.
It might be Ray.
Maybe?
I think I remember Ray doing them. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look back on it.
I know he does them in I'm Not Okay, which you'll hear later on.
Which we'll hear later on.
Yeah.
I think... sort of the same thing, and we can kind of jump back onto this train of thought. I thought the music, surprisingly, for a band's first record, was pretty stellar. The only thing that I didn't like musically about it is there were tempo changes where I, as a musician, thought there shouldn't be.
Okay.
Because there's, like, some speed-up sections a little bit, or, like, beat changes. I mean, granted, you know, with, like, early 2000s emo, you're going to pull that shit off.
Mm-hmm.
Take Me Back Sunday. The intro track Romance is a guitar piece, and it's actually really cool, and then it goes into Honey, This Mirror Isn't Big Enough. But anyway, so back to the music. Like, I thought the music was good. As far as Gerard's vocals go, he has his moments, for sure. In my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He has his moments.
Actually.
No, you're good. You're good, dude. But, yeah, in my opinion, Gerard's vocals was something I never liked about Mike Hem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say he is not a talented person. He very much is so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Umbrella Academy especially, and I guess a solo record, because people seem to like that a lot. I haven't listened to it yet, but
we'll get to it.
I
mean, you're going to have to get to it because there's less Mike Hem albums than there
are
Blink.
That's one thing we should point out right now. There's more Blink album studio albums than Mike Hem records, so... spoiler alert, I'm going to listen to some of the solo records that came out, but that'll be later on down the line. Gerard's vocals on this first record in particular, I guess in the band in general, I never really liked. But, I mean, he has a nice range.
Yeah.
But the voice is just kind of like hit or miss for me. For Vampires Will Never Hurt You, I think that's a strong highlight for his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Early Sunsets Over Monroeville is a vocally really good song. What's another one? I think the closing track, Demolition Lovers, is really good. It sounds like a band trying to find their sound. Not their niche, but their sound.
Sure. I mean, if we're gonna talk songs that sound the most like a traditionally emo song, mm-hmm. I'd still say that Drowning Lessons,
I have that on here as one of my favorite tracks.
Okay, because to me, that's the one that sounds the most like a traditional, like, I mean, I don't really want to brand anything as like, oh, this is true emo and stuff, because no, then what does that make me?
And we shouldn't.
I mean, but that, like, that one truly does sound like they were listening to, like, Mineral, Captain Jazz, but, like, also...
Captain Jazz especially.
Yeah. For sure. I can see that more than Mineral, but yeah.
I saw their reunion at Riot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Fuck. Did you see that Mineral's going on a reunion tour?
Yeah, I just missed them, though.
Oh,
they came in January.
I thought they were coming this month.
No, they just came through.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we missed it. No. I think Jawbox is...
They're reuniting for a
tour. Reuniting, and then at the rave, well, it's not emo, but it's sort of like the weird, like, spacier alternative music from the 90s.
Oh, yeah, Failure and...
Swerve Driver.
Swerve Driver.
Co-headlining.
Yeah,
that'd be tight. Anywho. Well,
anywho, back to, so the band. So my, yeah, my overall rating of this band, you know, it's not the album. It's, you know, it sounds like a first record. They're still trying to find their sound. I think the music kind of shows in that. Again, don't get me wrong, the album has, like, strong points. Drowning Lessons being one of them. Vampires Will Never Hurt You was probably my favorite single.
Yeah,
off
I'd
the
agree.
Record.
Well, because to me, that's, I mean, like, as far as, like, early in the career, that's the closest inkling of sort of the direction they're going to go
sure.
into. With just, like, sort of, like, I guess, I don't want to say theatrical song. Well, I guess I could say theatrical songwriting.
Yeah.
Because they're writing it like they would, like, I hate to be, like, the dude that's like, oh, you gotta go see them live, though. But, like,
yeah.
That feels like that's a song that's meant to be performed live.
Which, I think later on, I will check out the Black Parade Is Dead live album.
I'd see...
Or DVD.
I guess, yeah, because that's sort of them at their peak, but I'd say even look at stuff before that.
Oh, yeah, I will. I will definitely... Well,
yeah,
If and when we get to that, I will definitely compare and contrast with that.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like you with, like, when I asked you a least favorite song off of Cheshire Cat, it was kind of hard for me to come up with least favorite because some of it all sounded the same to me.
Yeah.
Sorta.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Because, again, they're trying to find their sound. They're trying to come up with... an identity, and the only song that I can remember not liking that much was Our Lady of Sorrow.
Okay.
And that's not to say it's an overall bad song. It's just like there's parts of it that are I think are cool, but it doesn't really fit well. And that's kind of, and that goes back to the issue I have with the music overall. It's just like there's parts that as a musician I would have written and played differently.
Mm-hmm.
On some tracks. I can't think of any names off the top of my head, but like you, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But when we progress into the next album we do after this, it'll be interesting, and you've told me this off air, it'll be interesting for me to hear how they progress on the next record, which is Three Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'd have the same thing, because my next album is Dude Ranch.
Which is, I should specify, Dude Ranch is probably my favorite Blink record.
I mean, it has like the one song that like for the longest time I'm like, all right, fuck Blink, but damn, it's a good song.
It's true.
I don't think you have that with Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge.
Probably not.
One other thing I'll point out is I'm not sure, I can't remember if they did it for You Brought Me Bullets, but a lot of the artwork Gerard Way did himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, I have the vinyl because I was listening to
it. Yeah, we're looking at Three Cheers right now.
I had the Three Cheers record. I was spinning it before Eddie came over. Yeah, so he did that. He did the widespread version of Black Parade. So, like, the CD version that you get where it's just, like,
the marching dude. Yeah.
That's just a small part of, like, the full thing.
Okay.
Like, there's a fucking mural. It's like a huge one because that's if you want to talk like concept albums, that's their big concept
album.
Well, I don't want to give too much away because you need to go and like sort of do it.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, I know that it's a concept record. And that's mm-hmm. probably all I need to know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You're going to see, I guess, going forward stuff to hint at like the storytelling you get in Vampires Will Never Hurt Us. You're going to get a lot more of that in this next one.
Sure.
Influences, I'd say, like, think, it's not necessarily a concept album, but there's plenty of songs that are, even though I've heard stories saying that, yeah, it is a concept album, for me, mm-hmm. I always thought there's just really good storytelling in the songwriting.
Yeah.
And it's probably my favorite stage of the band, because a lot of the songs sound like Iron Maiden playing Misfit songs.
And you're talking Three Cheers.
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Think Iron Maiden guitars playing Misfit songs.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not talking like Earth AD Misfits. I'm talking more like
Walk Among Us.
Maybe no. even pre-Walk Among Us, like
Static Age.
Static Age or yeah.
Sure.
Like,
I mean, that Static Age for sure is definitely, like, Misfits at their most horror thing. Well, kind of. Yeah.
Well, they're a little poppier around then. I mean, that's...
Yeah. And then they got more punk as time went on.
But yeah, exactly.
I guess what you have to look forward to with Blink is... Well, with Dude Ranch is better production? I think there's better songs on... I mean, clearly Dude Ranch has, in my opinion, has better songs on it.
Sure.
I think you'll... hopefully, you'll find... Maybe you'll find better Tom songs on Dude Ranch. I think there's better Tom songs on Dude Ranch.
Okay.
By far. And I think that Mark's songs are good. You will find... I think you'll find some more vocal sharing between the two of them. Not, like, full-on duets, because you'll probably... Sure. You'll get that, like, later on.
Yeah, okay.
But with Dude Ranch, I think what you have to look forward to is... Definitely better production,
mm-hmm.
and in my opinion, better songs.
Okay.
Because to me, you know, bringing this up before, Dude Ranch is definitely my favorite Blink record. I don't think there's a bad song on it.
Okay.
And yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say.
Forever, I used to get Dude Ranch confused with the NOFX album, Heavy Petting Zoo. Just because it's like a similar cover. And,
you can see one of Blink's influences in that, baby.
Oh, dude, I heard that on Cheshire Cat.
Did you? That's yeah. true, you did.
Like, because what was... When did Punk and Drublet come out? 94?
94. And so Cheshire Cat came out around the same time.
Cheshire Cat came out in 95. 95. So,
wow, I should fucking know this. But yeah.
Well, still, like, NOFX is, like, S&M Airlines came out 89, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, NOFX, okay, bottom line, NOFX did it first.
They did, but, like, most of the time when I was listening to Cheshire Cat, I was like, wow, this is a fun Fat Records band.
Yeah, that wasn't even on Fat Records.
I know it wasn't, but I'm like, wow, this sounds like a Fat Records band. Yeah. I mean, granted, I don't even think NOFX is the best thing to come around Fat Records.
Okay, we'll sidetrack a little bit. What do you think is?
Propagandy.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Sure. You're right. I was gonna say Descendants for the one record they did for Fat.
No, I got that recently.
Okay, cool. Just
Propagandy, How to Clean Everything. So we're recording by my record collection.
Yeah,
so
I'm sitting at James's record collection, which I've seen many a time, and I'm just picking out, like, oh yeah, there's this record, and this record.
Yeah. I hoard.
You hoard.
I'm a hoarder.
You do.
Yeah. It took me hours just to get the floor space to come in and just do this podcast.
But yeah, overall, My Chem's first record, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of, in my opinion, it's not very special, but it has cool moments. I think another favorite, I mentioned, Early Sunsets Over Monroeville is like the one ballad too, which I at first was kind of like, upon first listen, I listened to this album twice. I should have pointed that out earlier.
Okay.
Basically twice. And the first time I heard Early Sunsets Over Monroeville, I was just like, okay, this is going to be a emo ballad that, like, you know, starts off soft and then gets fucking heavy. It doesn't really get heavy.
Nope.
And the ending's actually really fucking cool with Gerard, like, singing a bunch and mm-hmm. the instruments getting quieter. I'm just like, oh, that's actually not that bad. Cubicles was probably another favorite of mine.
Yeah, I think you'll find with My Chemical Romance a lot of the shade that got thrown at them and a lot of the parodies that people made of them
mm-hmm.
aren't necessarily true. They're more true of a lot of the bands that came up around the same time that kind of butchered the sound. Or even after, yeah. Like, I fucking hate Escape the Fate.
Well, yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
People do.
I know, but, like, that's, like, a good example of why people hated them, or, like, bands just all the shitty stuff that came in their wake, like, Escape the Fate, like, Tokyo Hotel,
Wow, I haven't heard that name in a very long
time. I hadn't either until somebody shared one of the videos on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, I forgot they existed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I want to say From First to Last, but there's a couple good From First to Last songs.
Jeez.
And, Sonny Moore's doing just fine. He is. So,
yeah.
Balls to him.
Even though he's, like, back in the band, right?
No, he's not.
Is he not? Is he out again? I thought they did.
Sonny Moore is Skrillex.
Yeah, and I thought he rejoined From First to Last.
No, they just, From First to Last, joined again. They have a new singer now.
Oh, I'm gonna have to look this up after this. All right, yeah. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Overall... It's a fine record. Will I listen to it again? Probably not.
Yeah, but that's neither neither here nor there at this point, because we still have other albums to go to.
Exactly, and it's not like, well, yeah, it's the first record. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of bands have that. I think, like, some of the most legendary bands don't usually have a great album right out the door. Right.
No, you're right.
I don't, like, as we're talking about it now, I'm thinking back to, Cheshire Cat is kind of making me think of, Portrait of an American Family.
By Manson?
By Manson.
Explain.
Okay, because, sure, like, there's sort of tongue-in-cheek stuff. It's still, like, that album's still got, like, this creepy macabre thing that he's going for.
Sure.
But he's not quite Manson yet.
Sure.
This sounds like a fun sort of pop-punk album, but it's not quite Blink yet.
No, and I guarantee you, you'll probably find Blink's signature sound. You probably won't find it until Enema.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dude Ranch is, like, kind of there.
Yeah.
It gets more there, but, like, with Enema.
Do you think it's with, like, the addition of Travis Barker?
I think so.
Okay.
And we can discuss that later. Yeah. We can discuss that when we get to the record.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I should point out, too. Scott, as he's a good drummer. He can play...
Fine.
He can play really fucking fast. I don't know if you, like, did research, and when you research, you, like, video searched up... you searched all of, like, live clips or whatever?
I tried to, like, although the thing that kept distracting me is that Mark Hoppus, when he was really young, looks like this dude I was in Boy Scouts with. So I just could not think about that.
But yeah, they play, like, some of the songs on Cheshire. Like, you think they're fast on Cheshire. They play them fast, really. They play them live really fucking fast.
Okay, so it's sort of like the Ramones thing. Well, I guess, no, that's just...
Yeah.
That's just a punk rock thing.
That is a punk rock thing. But yeah.
Like...
But they play really fucking fast.
Yeah.
Live in that early era. But yeah, that we can discuss more.
Okay. In the future. Well, I guess, yeah. So we've got both those down. I guess an elite, like, we know what to look forward to.
Yes.
Are there any, like, do you want to give shout outs or something? Like, all right, if you liked this, then you might like this or something. Like,
I don't know, because I don't know how many podcasts are like this.
Oh, no, that's true. No. I'm not saying, like, any podcasts. I'm saying, would you have any band record? We could do that at the end. We could recommend a similar band. So, I guess with, on the theme of My Chem, we're going to talk a newer band that's similar. Okay. I'm going to recommend Creeper.
England. You've mentioned Creeper before.
Creeper, they're great.
Okay.
They sound like Three Cheers era My Chem meets, like, Alkaline Trio.
Ooh. Okay.
They're just a really great horror punk band from UK. They were I saw them at Warped Tour in 2017, and I was already kind of aware of them, and I felt kind of weird because I was there with my two friends from, like, the hardcore scene, and it was us and all these teenage girls.
Oh, jeez.
And so when they're like, let me see a circle pit, it was just me and my two friends just running in a circle.
Yeah.
But no, they're a great band. There's, like, a lot of My Chem, even, like, a little bit of Avenged Sevenfold and some of the guitars.
Sure.
But, like, if you listen to them interviewed, like, their favorite bands are, like, The Misfits and, like, Rancid.
Sounds
and
about
stuff.
Right.
No, check them out. Creeper. What's the album called? Just look up Creeper.
Just look up Creeper.
Yeah, but they, like, they've done U.S. tours with, like, Silverstein and...
They were on one of the last... Not this past run, but, like, the one... I think the run before that...
I think they... No, they had to drop off because of visa issues.
Oh, that's right.
So,
Yeah.
I didn't see them on that run. I saw them when they came with... when they came with Hawthorne Heights, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sure.
They're still around.
They are still around, and they apparently know that they're...
Didn't they tour with Blink?
Hawthorne?
Yeah, I think so.
Fuck if I know. If they did, it was probably like a Honda Civic.
My Chem toured with Blink.
Yeah, on the Honda Civic tour in 2011. And it actually turned out...
Right when Blink came back and right when MCR broke up.
Breaking up. But yeah.
But we'll get to that.
We will get to that. I guess for my recommendation, if you like Blink...
Yeah.
As far as, like, anything Cheshire Cat era goes, I don't really know.
Okay.
Because the band that I want to recommend, we can do on the next episode.
Okay, that's fair. I'll just listen to Propagandy in the meantime.
I was gonna say, yeah. if you like Cheshire Cat, like Propagandy or NOFX.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like,
you know what? Fuck it. The listeners, listen to Propagandy or anything on Fat Records in the 90s,
and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. And if you like Three Cheers era My Chem.
check out Creeper. So yeah, I think we should probably cut it off there. Thank you guys for listening to us ramble for an hour about bands that we like and dislike at the same time.
And we try to give them a chance. That's the big part. We give it a chance.
And we're still going to give them a chance on the next episodes. So,
this ain't going to be easy, but we'll make it through it.
Oh boy, yeah.
This was painless, but it might get worse. Yeah, this might get worse.
It might get worse.
It might get worse.
You know what? That should be the name of it. That should be the name of the podcast. It might get worse.
This might get worse.
This might get worse.
There we go. We got all of it there.